What's up, guys? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Thursday, January 30th, 2020. I'm Tim Geddes, joined by Ray Narvaez Jr.
Thank you for having me again. I'm still here.
You're still here. First
Hello,
time
gamers.
On Games Daily, though.
Yeah, I'm excited.
We're running you through the gauntlet now.
Yeah.
We got you on.
This is actually my interview process.
Exactly.
It's going great so far. Yeah.
We got you on Gamescast, which is live now on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames.
Please watch.
The most iconic Xbox games of all time.
I think we did good.
I think we did good, too. We had Ryan McCaffrey on that as well. That was a treat.
Big fan,
yeah. We got him now on Games Daily. Later, we got you on We Have Cool Friends. Then we're doing a Smash stream later.
Yeah, oh, I'm on all that.
Knocking them all out.
Dude, I can't wait to meet the cool friend. It's going to be great.
It's going to be great. Today, we are talking about Nintendo sales. We're talking about Xbox sales. We're talking about a whole bunch more because this is Kinda Funny Games Daily each and every weekday here, 10 a.m. right on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, you can correct us when we get stuff wrong by
we
going
won't.
To.
Nah, we won't.
Me and you, never. You can go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong in case we do, though. If you don't want to watch live, you can watch later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, roosterteeth.com, or your favorite podcast service. Just search for Kinda Funny Games Daily. If you want to be part of the show, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames, where bronze members or above get to ride in, and silver members or above get the show ad-free, along with the exclusive daily post-show. Thank you to our Patreon producers, Blackjack and Muhammad. A little housekeeping for you here. Tomorrow is our final crowdfunding push for our big January event 2020, Kinda Funny Games 4.0. We'll be streaming from 10 a.m. to 10 p.m., going through a whole bunch of stuff, starting with Games Daily, going all the way to the end of the night with the Kinda Funny podcast. It's going to be fantastic.
Hell yeah.
Like I was saying earlier, today, though, we're going to be streaming some Super Smash Brothers, the Byleth DLC.
Let's do it.
How stoked about that are you?
I'm not a big Smash guy. I play like super casually. Like I only play Little Mac. But yeah, it was fun seeing reactions. Those were fun.
Those were
I know
fun.
People were like, it's Fire Emblem again. And I'm like, yeah, there's like 9 of them now.
There's a picture going around of 8 different Fire Emblem characters, like an 8-player
and they all
Smash
look the same.
Match,
and they're all, no, they all look the same.
Everyone is here. Today we're brought to you by G.I. Joe, War on Cobra, and Robin Hood, but we'll tell you about that later. Before we get into all the rigmarole we normally do, Kevin, I just sent Asset something. Now, this is not games related at all, but I feel like I need to get this out of my system and talk to somebody about it.
Okay.
And you're the person at this table, so it's going to be you.
All right.
Sideshow Collectibles just announced that they are releasing a life-sized Baby Yoda.
Oh, hell yeah.
And when you see this thing...
Is it like $300? Yep, it sure is.
Yes, it is, dude. $350. Click into those pictures, Kevin. We need this thing.
That's wild.
Oh, man.
We need this.
That's wild.
Look at him.
Do you see what he's holding?
Yeah. Do you watch Mandalorian?
I haven't watched it yet. I want to. I was waiting for the whole thing to come out. I just haven't got around to it yet.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. But I know all about it.
That's all you need to know. Look at that little shit. We have a new studio coming up. Guys, I don't know what we need to put on the thermometer, but we need to get $350 stat.
Is that? Oh, thank you for the apple comparison. What the fuck? Choose you a banana. Why the apple?
Dude, look at it. Like, Kevin, we need this, right?
This is a business expense.
I mean,
right?
It just makes sense.
Right?
If I come in every day, touch his little head, I know it'll make it better.
He's like a Buddha. Rub his head for good luck.
If you guys watch KFAF, recently Nick bought himself a birthday present of this cat doorstop. And we actually use it in the office now. And
oh, I've seen it.
It brings me great joy. And if that stupid ass cat.
Are you going to use this thing
joy,
as a doorstop? A $350 doorstop?
Ladies and gentlemen, like I said, this is Kinda Funny Games Daily. Let's begin with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. We have 6 stories today.
A baker's dozen. Tim, you say the word, I'll pre-order it right now.
There you go. Honestly, man. Honestly, I feel like we might
have. Tim, there's an installment plan.
Oh, my
Dude,
Lord.
I hate how lifelike it looks.
Like, they did
looks,
a good job with
it's
it.
It's perfect. It's fucking perfect. Anyways, let's get to the news here. We have 6 stories today. A lot of sales numbers, a lot of financial reports.
Let's hear it.
We're going to start with Microsoft.
All right.
Microsoft gaming revenue down 21% in Q2, but their subscriptions are up.
That makes
sense.
This
comes from Rebecca Valentine over at gamesindustry.biz. Microsoft has reported its earnings for Q2 of the current fiscal year, announcing overall growth overshadowing continued declines in the company's gaming segment. Total revenue reached $36.9 billion.
That's a lot.
Mm-hmm. For the quarter, up 14% year over year, with a net income of $11.6 billion, up 35%. The more personal computing business segment, of which gaming is a part of, saw $13.2 billion in revenue, up 2% year over year. But gaming is a small part of that segment, bringing in $3.3 million in Q2, down $905 million year over year. Microsoft attributes this decline to a decrease in hardware sold, a predictable drop given that this represents the final holiday season of the current console generation. This drop is also in line with what CFO Amy Hood suggested during the company's Q1 earnings call. Mm-hmm. So kind of expected.
Yeah. But new consoles coming this year. The big push with Game Pass and the fact that all their games are more or less on PC at this point. So if people want to just strictly play on PC, they can. They don't need to buy the new Xbox, whether it be the X or whatever.
Additionally, Microsoft reported that Xbox content and services revenue was down 11%, attributing the drop to a high prior year comparable, primarily from a third-party title. It's possible that this is referring to Red Dead Redemption 2. Yeah. Makes a lot of sense. The drop was offset, though, by subscription growth. Though Microsoft no longer reports Xbox Live MAUs, I'm assuming that just means subscriptions, beginning with its Q1 results for this year, at last count, that number was at 65 million, and Microsoft has said it has grown over the last two quarters since. In fact, during the company's Q2 earnings call, Microsoft announced that Xbox Live reached a new high record in Q2 and that Game Pass subscriptions more than doubled in Q2. You big Game Pass guy?
I love Game Pass. Think it's the best deal in gaming. If you get an Xbox, I mean, obviously people aren't buying new Xbox, but if you buy an Xbox now, you just get, instead of buying one game, you could just subscribe to Game Pass, and then you have like 150 games. So it makes sense.
A lot of games.
It is. It sure is. It sure is, Tim. But yeah, I think it's a great deal. Anytime someone asks me what game they should get for an Xbox, I just say get Game Pass because it's cheap. And a good variety of games, 360, original Xbox, obviously Xbox One stuff, first party stuff. And you'll find a couple of things on there that you like and will keep you busy.
Yeah.
For sure.
What are some of your highlights so far on the Game Pass?
I downloaded Outer Wilds and Outer Worlds, both on there. I like them both a lot. Obviously, the mainstay stuff. Crackdown 3 was one that I didn't so much enjoy, but the fact that it was included, I'm like, I'll play this through. It was, you know, it was a okay game at best, and I'm glad I didn't have to pay anything for it, right? But there's a lot of good third-party stuff on there, obviously first-party stuff. It's just really a good variety, and if you're in kind of a gaming rut and you don't know what to play, you can just pick something out there, and maybe you'll find some you like.
And so all of this kind of adds up to what we've been looking at in the last couple years, I would say, gearing towards the next generation. Mm-hmm. Xbox kind of understanding where they're at, kind of in a similar situation to Nintendo last gen of the Wii U. Okay,
yeah.
we'll get you next time.
Yeah,
we'll
Mulligan. Time,
you know what I mean? So there's another quote here. We continue to invest to reach gamers across every endpoint, mobile, PC, and console. xCloud is off to a strong start, transforming how games are distributed, played, and viewed, with hundreds of thousands of people participating in initial trials. We set a new record for Xbox Live monthly active users again. Oh, that's what the MUA is, monthly active users.
Oh, that makes sense.
Again, this quarter, led by strength off console. Xbox Game Pass subscribers more than doubled this quarter, and the Xbox Series X announced last month will be the most powerful console ever, blah, blah, blah. So the thing is, they're getting people in with these super cheap trials for Game Pass.
Game Pass is like a dollar for a month if you're like a new user.
I feel like there's constantly new deals that they're pushing, and they're trying to get everybody in now so that next gen everyone's ready
locked in.
They're locked, they know what they're getting into. It's an interesting strategy that I truly believe is gonna pay off for them.
I hope so. It definitely seems like it. People seem very excited about it. It's very consumer friendly, and with the Xbox Ultimate, it's also like console and PC, so it's even like two platforms.
So Peter Petrov writes in with some questions about this. Hello, Tim and Ray. Microsoft financials are coming in, and for the most part, they are what you'd expect. However, one piece of information that stood out was that Xbox set a record for monthly active users for the quarter once again, and that Game Pass subscribers more than doubled. Do you think Game Pass subscribers are fueling this record Xbox Live number, and how many subscribers do you think Xbox Game Pass actually has? How much it actually has is a bit harder to kind of nail down. Mm-hmm. But I definitely think the Game Pass is fueling the increased numbers here, because it's not the exclusives.
No,
you know, the exclusives being part of Game Pass, I think
definitely helps. Yeah,
but you got to imagine a time like when Halo comes out, Halo Infinite comes out, and that's part of Game
Pass. It's right there.
You know, like that is going to be such a huge kind of like entry point for
people Ori. New Ori comes out in a month and a half. It'll be there.
Yeah. So I think that's obviously going to drive a lot of sales, both for Game Pass, Xbox Live, and for hardware sales themselves.
Yeah, I think there's a bundle where you get gold, and like Game Pass, and I think some other shit too. So,
but with xCloud coming out, you got to imagine they're putting all this stuff out there to get people used to it, to then make it extremely clear and concise next gen, and just be like, get Xbox, whatever the hell.
They
it
seem
is.
All about xCloud, and they're promoting it and stuff like that. And I feel like, you know, the Stadia came out, and we haven't heard much since it came out.
Got some Stadia news today, too. Do not.
Never mind. I guess we're going to hear some about it.
But an interesting thing here is Xbox hardware sales. Mm-hmm. They Xbox doesn't really put them out. They very, very rarely speak on how many are actually in the wild. In January 2019, it was reported that 41 million Xbox Ones were in the wild. Mm-hmm. Doing some math and some some
running the numbers.
Running some numbers. Yeah. People have kind of figured that the Xbox One sales currently are at about 50 million.
Okay.
So about 10 million increase over the year. And not that that's bad. And in fact, like, that's still 50 million.
But just compared to like everything else.
PlayStation 4, like having crossed 100 a while ago. Yeah. You know? That's interesting, and this also segues into Nintendo's sales numbers. Mm-hmm. This comes from a mix of Brian Ashcraft at Kotaku and Paul Tassi over at Forbes. As of December 31st, so a lot of these numbers are already outdated by about a month, right? As of December 31st, Nintendo had its best Switch sales quarter since launch, with 10.81 million sold, reaching 52.48 million lifetime Switch console sales.
That makes sense.
Which
the Switch is phenomenal.
Beats out Xbox One.
Yeah.
A lot of interesting things there. So this includes 5.19 million lights. So the Switch Lite came out this year, or last year.
Yeah.
That definitely helps with a lot of this hardware sales, but 5 million of those are lights. Hitting that 50 million mark is significant because for the first time, it seems entirely possible that Nintendo Switch has actually outsold the Xbox One. Microsoft stopped reporting specific Xbox One sales a few years ago, but third-party estimates put the Xbox One at around 50 million units, with Sony's 102.8 million beating it by roughly a 2-to-1 margin, despite both consoles launching.
Did
they
ever say
why
they stopped, or they just stopped?
I mean, because they're second place.
Yeah, probably, yeah.
You know
that makes sense.
It's like, why fuel this fire? The Xbox One was released in November 2013. The Switch came out in March 2017. That's a nearly 3.5-year late start for the Switch, yet it has likely equaled or passed the Xbox One. A lot of stuff goes into this. Obviously, Nintendo had a killer lineup of first-party titles coming out. And in addition
they'll always
to that,
have that.
And they'll always have that. But even then, that wasn't enough for the Wii U. You know?
How much did the Wii U sell? Do you remember?
13 million.
That what?
Yeah.
Oh, all right. I knew it was bad. I didn't know it was that bad.
It was between 13 and 14
All right, so they crushed it.
Mm-hmm.
The Wii U walked so the Switch could run.
Exactly. Yeah. Another big thing to keep in mind here is the fact that there is no longer two Nintendo consoles. Like, there has always been the home console and the portable.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And we're now finally seeing the 3DS pretty much entirely phased out. Mm-hmm. So they are putting all their eggs in one basket, which is the Nintendo Switch.
It's such a great console. I was playing it on the way on my Uber here. It's just...
What are you playing?
Pokemon.
There we go.
Yeah.
You're not alone. My friend,
yeah,
you're not alone.
I have like 215 hours in that game. I love it. It's crazy. It's just the taking it off the dock, and it's still essentially like you're playing modern games is just surreal to me.
And that's the thing is like you're playing console games. You're playing Mario.
You're
Odyssey,
playing Mario Odyssey or Breath of the Wild.
But you're also playing Pokemon, which was traditionally a very, very, very high selling portable game that sold portable systems.
Yeah.
Right. So now we have all this stuff kind of working in conjunction, which would make sense. They're hitting this point where over 50 million, they're outselling Xbox One. Dropping some more numbers here. The Switch has now surpassed the Super Nintendo Entertainment System in sales. The console's next target is the original NES, which managed 61.91 million sales.
How much did the Wii sell?
So let's go through this.
Okay.
The Super Nintendo, 61.91 million.
Very good.
The original Nintendo. Yeah. Then the next thing is the 3DS at 75 million.
Okay.
Then the PSP.
Really?
At 80 million.
The original PSP.
The original PSP.
Hell yeah.
Like, I'm kind of surprised by. Like, I feel like I should have known that, but like reading that, I'm like, huh.
No, I feel, thinking about it, I feel like a lot of people had PSPs where they used it for like its actual use, so they modded it and ran emulators on it. I remember seeing a lot of PSPs.
I played every Nintendo game on
the PSP. Yeah. Hell yeah.
That. Greg Miller, get in here real quick. Hey, how you? PSP.
PSP guy.
Sold really, really well.
Hell yeah, it did. You know why? Patapon 1, 2, and 3. Patapon 2 remastered out right now. PlayStation 4, get it. Also, here you go. Breaking news for you. Just want to pass.
Hey, you made Patapon 2 happen, right?
Sure did.
Can you make, like, time splitters happen? Can you just, like, talk about time splitters a lot? Just keep talking about it, please.
Kevin, can you give me the one, please? Ladies and gentlemen, breaking news. We have ordered the Baby Yoda
life
size.
Yes.
I cannot wait for this. I love you, Greg. Woo!
That's amazing.
Oh, you gotta love it, man. Anyway, PSP at 80 million.
Well, only Advance. One, not one for each employee.
One at every desk, yeah. Dude. Let's see. The Game Boy Advance at 81.5 million, which makes sense. That had a very long life cycle, if I remember correctly.
Yeah.
You know what? That's not true at all.
Does that include
2001
like,
to 2005.
Does that include like the SP and the Micro
yes,
and all
it
that?
Does.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And then the 360 coming in at 84 million. Yep. Then PS3 at 87 million. The Wii at 101 million.
God.
Which makes it the highest selling Nintendo home console,
mm-hmm.
but not portable console.
Yeah.
That's coming up later because above this, we got PlayStation 1 at 102, the PlayStation 4 at now 106 million, Game Boy and Game Boy Color at 118 million.
They combine those two?
Yeah.
Okay.
And that's another one, like that one, that had over a decade of sales there.
Also, one of the best pack-in games.
Tetris. Yep. There you go. And Pokemon. Not pack-in, but like.
Yeah, yeah.
That's where Pokemon
started. That's where
that
it started, and look
boom.
Where it is now, yeah.
Then Nintendo DS at 154 million.
That's crazy.
But that is only number two, because the number one is the PlayStation 2 at over 155.
That makes sense.
155
PlayStation
million.
2 was so good.
Yeah.
I can't believe the DS sold that many.
Yeah.
The original, like, gray, ugly brick.
Well, it's all the DSs.
That's true.
Except for the 3DS. So it would be DS, DS Lite.
But still, when it first came out, that ugly brick
God.
With the screens that were, like,
hey,
totally tiny.
New Super Mario 64. You know what made that game special? An analog stick.
Yeah.
You know what this doesn't have?
Hey.
An analog
well,
stick.
Use the camera with the stylus. You idiot. But then, you know.
Here's a little thumb attachment to pretend you have an analog.
Oh, yeah. I forgot about that.
Jesus.
They got their
Christ.
Shit together.
So, speaking of getting their shit together, you were talking about playing Pokemon Sword and Shield. Oh, man. I remember sitting at this very table talking to Andrea Renee, and she's like, Pokemon doesn't sell that well. And I'm like, you are fucking crazy. Here is some proof.
It's Pokemon, the number one, like, entity.
Pokemon Sword and Shield, 16.18 million copies
sold. Yeah. Pokemon.
Just from November 15th to December 31st.
That's fucking wild, dude.
People
like
love
the wild
Pokemon.
Zone, dude. No, crazy. This is crazy. To put this in context, right? Pokemon Sword and Shield, 16.18 million in a month and a half, all right?
Mm-hmm.
Pokemon X and Y has a lifetime sales of 16.42 million.
It's the hype of it being on a home console.
And when you add on the fact that there were more 3DSs in the wild getting those numbers... That's crazy. The attach rate of the Switch means it's even higher. This is a month and a half in.
I'm sure some of it's also the game was 60 as opposed to, what is that on the DS, like 40? But I mean, still.
Well, I mean, that's, they're just making even more money then.
Yeah.
Right? Like, this is only a month and a half. Like, we're talking month and a half compared to
I got it backwards.
X and Y. We're talking to 5 years at this point, 4 or 5 years.
Yeah, I think it's the fact that it's on a home console. It's the brand new Pokemon, new generation. People are super excited. I was super excited about it. I mean, I played it nonstop. I still play it nonstop. It's still one of my favorite games.
Pokemon Sun and Moon at 16.17 million. Those were like the last like, four
the last,
entries. Mm. And Sword and Shield's already outsold it.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So there's some other interesting facts here. Cerebi, who is a very well-known Pokemon kind of news source, says, for comparison, here are the numbers for launch to December 31st in respective launch years for each Pokemon game. X and Y was at 11. I'm just going to round.
Yeah.
12 million.
Okay.
Omega Ruby and Alpha Sapphire were at 9.3 million. Sun and Moon were at 14 million. Ultra Sun and Moon were at 7 million. And then the Let's Go games, which were last year, were at 10 million. A big thing to keep in mind with Sun and Moon is that there was a bigger user base of 3DSs out there. And it was during the hype of Pokemon Go that really brought a lot more people in to be like, oh, I'm going to get back on Pokemon, right? But...
It doesn't matter.
The story is here, man. The Switch is a success. It's selling insanely well. Pokemon is like gonna keep boosting that. Like crazy stuff.
Pokemon is just easy money at this point. Just put a Pokemon like the new Mystery Dungeon game's coming out in March. I'm sure that's gonna sell a shitload as well.
Yeah. So Pokemon's not the only thing that's selling. So while the Switch is doing better, the 3DS seems to be fading out a bit. Hardware sales were down 73% year on year. Software sales dropped 63%. It's about time. That makes a lot of sense. But there is a lot of interesting shit going into why this is happening. So the Switch selling so well. Obviously, the Switch Lite having a different option for people that's a little bit cheaper. So they're either getting a second Switch or more people are like, you know what, it's cheap enough that I'm going to jump.
Yeah, a lot
now.
Of people just skip the first iteration because they know another one's coming, a cheaper, lighter, want more colors,
yeah,
stuff like that. So people are finally jumping on that wave as well.
And it's that Pokemon.
Did you
honestly,
get a Switch Lite?
I do have a Lite.
Okay.
I love it. I love it so much. But it is such a like first world thing for me.
Yeah.
I'm just like I literally just have it next to my bed.
That's fair.
Just,
I mean, that's what it's perfect
it's
for,
just
right?
Just having it like where I'm laying, and it's just like just light enough that I'm like, oh, this,
hey!
That I noticed the difference.
Yeah.
And also another big thing was that Switch launched in China for the first time. So there was a big
boost
over there.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't there like store really weird? Like, wasn't it just like one game when it first launched?
Mm-hmm. I think it was Mario Odyssey.
It was Deluxe. It was a Mario game. It was one of them, but yeah.
So another significant hit over the period was Luigi's Mansion 3, which has sold 5.37 million copies.
That game was incredible.
Making it by far the fastest selling game in the series so far.
Good. Luigi's Mansion 1 was a launch title, right?
On GameCube.
On GameCube.
Yeah.
And then the second one I know people are kind of about.
I'm kind of
about
it too.
And then I think they re-released the first one on the DS.
On the 3DS. Yeah.
And then this one was just, I was so surprised at how good it looked, how fun it was. Gooigi is iconic. And
Gooigi is iconic.
I hope they make more of those games.
They're going to, I mean, here we go. Right? Like they now have this like nice kind of A-tier game library that they're just going to keep pumping out. Other key sellers have been Legend of Zelda Link's Awakening at 4.19 million.
That was another
million.
Fun game.
Fire Emblem Three Houses at 2.58 million. Ring Fit Adventure. You know Ring Fit Adventure?
Yeah.
At 2.17 million.
That's crazy.
That's a lot higher than I would have expected.
Yeah.
Astral Chain at 1.3 million. And Marvel Ultimate Alliance at 1.02 million. Ton of great selling Switch games. We now have, to end out the Switch jerk-off-a-thon, the top best-selling Switch games of
it's
all time.
It's a mess on the table. So,
yeah,
gotta clean
exactly.
it up.
So we have some updated numbers on what the top 10 selling Switch games of all time are. At number 10, we have Luigi's Mansion 3 at over 5 million. Number 9, we have New Super Mario Bros. U Deluxe at 5.8 million.
God, that's a little more than I thought.
Mario Party at 9.12 million. Coming in at
Mario Party.
Number 8. Splatoon 2 at 9.81 million. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Eevee at 11.76 million. Pokemon Sword and Shield at 16.6 million. The Legend of Zelda Breath of the Wild at 16.34 million.
Was that fourth?
That's fourth.
That's fourth.
That's
okay, that would have been first
fourth,
for me.
Dude.
Or maybe second, because Odyssey. Well.
Dude, check this out. Number 3, Mario Odyssey. At 16.59 million. What do you think the top two are? It's super obvious, but
I don't. 1-2 Switch.
No.
I don't.
It's literally the two most obvious things.
I'm helping.
I'll put you on the spot here.
Yeah.
Super Smash Bros. Ultimate.
Oh, fuck. Yeah, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
And Mario Kart?
Yes.
Okay.
At 17.
Thank you.
At 17.68 million, making it the highest selling fighting game of all time. And number one, Mario Kart 8 Deluxe.
But Tim, it's a party game.
At 22.96 million copies sold. Jesus.
That's wild.
Crazy.
That's
man.
Wild.
Crazy sales numbers.
I don't know how I forgot about Smash. I'm sorry if
yeah,
I offended anybody.
No, it's like, that was the thing. It's like, it's so
you
obvious.
You said Fire Emblem at number 10, and I'm like, that's Smash at number 10.
All right. Next
that's
news
wild.
Story. Google responds to complaints of slow Stadia announcements. This comes from James Batchelor at gamesindustry.biz. Google has addressed concerns that it's not informing the initial Stadia user base about future releases and upcoming features for the cloud-based gaming service. Reports on various sites earlier this week pointed to frustration among the Stadia community, often citing a particular Reddit thread. The poster claimed...
Saw that one.
Yeah, me too. The poster claimed it had been 40 days since Google had added or announced a new game for Stadia, with the bulk added around the launch 69 days ago.
Nice.
At the time of this post. This post also... have you used Stadia at all?
I have not. I've used xCloud a little bit. I assume they're more or less the same thing.
If they're similar.
Yeah, it's similar.
Some big key differences.
Do you think xCloud coming around is kind of like kick the Stadia in the nuts and they're like, come on, man.
Oh, they're gonna.
Yeah.
I mean, the kick is coming.
Yeah.
Kev. You, I know, have been probably the most active Stadia user in the office.
Mr. Stadia himself.
Sure.
How's that going for you?
Not good.
Yeah?
Not
okay.
good. Doesn't look good. It plays well, and when, like switching between my big TV and my small TV works great.
Mm-hmm.
Really enjoy that. Really wish that I could, via Bluetooth, connect my controller to my phone. I can't.
The post also complains of the lack of iOS support and that the only Android phones supported are the Pixel models, family sharing, the subscriptionless Stadia base membership, or regular updates on the roadmap for these and other features. Finally, there was a reference to a stat Google revealed in its New Year update that more than 120 games were coming to Stadia in 2020, with more than 10 exclusives in the first half of the year. A Google spokesperson told GamesIndustry.biz that the Stadia team has, in fact, been providing weekly updates on the Stadia community forum, as well as monthly recaps on the Google Keyword blog. They also addressed expectations surrounding the 120 titles. Quote, "We understand the desire to hear more specifics on the games. After all, that is what it's about, the games. Of course, not all 120 titles will be announced by the Stadia team, as we leave it up to the publishers to make the announcement about their IP and games, and which platforms it will appear on, just as we do with the exclusive content coming to Stadia. There are a lot of reasons for the time of those game announcements, anything from planned promotions or events, title readiness, proximity to first playable demo, shareholder requirements, etc. We continue to work closely with our publishing and developing partners and are here to support them in all areas. We're excited to share more about some of the exclusive games coming to Stadia soon." They also added that subscribers will be able to add Guilt and Metro Exodus to their collections next month, bringing the total number of included games up to 7.
What? 7?
If they claim Samurai Showdown and Rise of the Tomb Raider before January 31st.
Well, definitely claim those.
So, yeah. So, Kev, I mean, like, this news sounds kind of like, hey, that Reddit thread might be a little alarmist, but also, we're not really going to solve any of the issues that they're addressing anytime soon or directly.
That's not good.
I don't understand how a company as big as Google is handling this as poorly as it is. You know, it's just one of those things. It's like, man, this is...
Wasn't that Google's MO? They, like, launch something new, and then after a while, they're like, eh, and they just move on to the next thing?
I mean, sure, but, like, I feel like that's because people weren't excited for a lot of those things.
Yeah, this should be different.
I was hyped for Google Glass. All right, you take that back.
as was I, but that was never launched as, like, a full retail
that's fair.
Product. That was only launched for experimental
things.
I mean, arguably, like, isn't Stadia kind of like that as well right now? Where it's like,
but you can buy it.
But the fact is, you can buy this
product that I own, and I'm like, well, this is a product that isn't worth the money. Sucks.
Might be one day.
So that's the thing is like, do you have any actual hope left?
Just in life, not about the Stadia, just about life.
This is one of those things where it's like, I have hope. I don't think that it's actually going to happen, and that's super disappointing. Just because it's like, this is something that like, this is.
I'm losing
my trust in this company in like Google, which is scary because like
you're a Google fanboy.
I am indeed.
Jokes aside.
Yeah, I've Google Home integrated as much as I can. And it is one of those things where it's like now I'm looking at Nest and seeing like, they're not moving forward at that in the right way. Like the Nest ecosystem that they were trying to launch hasn't launched. There's no news about the launch. And it's like maybe Google products suck. But like, you know, like putting that mentality in someone who is so hardcore and ready to jump in on this bandwagon of like, yeah, Google, like I want to be Google everything.
Kevin Coelho is the most dedicated to a brand person I've ever met. 100%. Where it's like he had a Sony computer when he was young. He's like, all Sony or thing. He's like, I want the Sony TV. I want the Sony Blu-ray player. I want the Sony.
Do you have a Sony Walkman? When
I have a PlayStation 3D TV.
You remember that TV?
What? Why?
I love it. I legitimately had that trucked down to E3 because I was like, what? Like, I have to take a monitor down. I'm going to take my favorite one. I thought about buying two more once I found out that they were discontinued and really cheap.
Speaking of E3.
Holy shit.
The ESA promises to shake things up at E3. This comes from Brendan Sinclair at GamesIndustry.biz. Wow. It's GamesIndustry.biz day. Good job, you guys out there. From the ongoing absence of big names like Sony and EA to the mishandling of media registrants' personal information, the Electronic Entertainment Expo has seen a few setbacks in recent years. Do you remember this?
I heard about it.
Yeah.
It was not good.
Not good at all. The event organizers at the Entertainment Software Association today released a statement to address some of the concerns around the show, saying it's committed to keeping E3 at the level you've come to expect. Good luck.
Yeah, that's a...
You'll be lucky to. You'll be happy to
you'll
know.
You'll be lucky
that, that we're not producing E3 2020 in a vacuum. The group said, "For E3 2020, we're collaborating with industry insiders and new creative partners, including the tastemakers at IM8bit.com, to reinvigorate the show and, frankly, to shake things up. We are well down the path." Down the path on the development and production of a large, super fun floor experience that celebrates gaming culture in exciting new ways. I'm going to add a little quote here that's not real, aka we think that we're PAX, but we're not.
Yeah.
At
didn't
all.
Didn't Greg get banned or something, or get his badge taken away or
Greg,
some shit?
Greg did get banned from E3. That got cleared up. They figured it out. They claimed that somebody, like, you're not allowed to give your pass away. Like, okay. You have to be you.
Yeah,
you
yeah.
get in trouble if someone else uses your pass.
Yeah, yeah.
Apparently someone else used Greg's pass, but that was fake.
What?
And then Greg got banned, which is the fucking best. That was on top of all of the leaks and all this shit. It's just
E3 thriving.
You ban Greg Miller? Like a man that literally gets hired to host things at E3?
Yeah. Got banned on stage.
I fucking love it, dude. More specific details. Like, that was actually hilarious. He closed out E3. He was hosting one of the GameSpot live shows. And we had, like, as evidence, we showed at the same time that the person using his badge, that you could see Greg's badge.
Yeah. Like, literally watch your content. It's hanging off his hip, you idiot.
Oh, man. More specific details on that are expected in the coming weeks. But the ESA said that the show floor would feature gatherings for people to play and celebrate games with experiential zones that delight the senses.
What does that mean? It's like an ASMR area.
It also promised to be incredibly inclusive, celebrating all aspects of the industry. Beyond that, the group solicited ideas on how to improve the show, asking people to email their thoughts to suggestions at e3expo.com and promising that no idea is too large or too small. The ESA also sought to reassure attendees that it has overhauled its processes to avoid a repeat of last year's registration leak. The ESA's previous procedures had left multiple years of attendee information readily available, although only 1 year's was widely spread.
So far.
You should also know that we've upgraded our media registration process, which received a lot of attention this past summer. That's how you're going to phrase it?
Yeah.
Earning back your trust and support is our top priority. That's why we rebuilt the E3 website with enhanced and layered security measures developed by an outside cybersecurity firm. This included updating our data management processes, including the handling of personal identifiable information, and we will no longer store that data on the site. We also have changed our registration practices and will collect the minimum information necessary to complete your registration. Registration will open February 15th. The show itself will take place June 9th through 11th in Los Angeles. Jokes aside, it's good that they're thinking about this. They are getting
ahead of
it.
They have to say something.
They have to say stuff. And so it's like, good on them for trying.
Yeah.
What can they do to save E3? I don't know. Like, have you been to E3?
I've been to E3 once when they announced the new consoles for this generation. So Xbox One, PlayStation 3. 20, that was pretty hype.
12 then, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been there since. I've thought about going, but I honestly prefer watching it at home because you can just, stream the press conferences.
Mm-hmm.
So I can just sit at home, stream it, you know, with my audience, and we could just, you know, watch it and make jokes and get excited for stuff like that. And you have the best seat in the house.
Yeah.
As opposed to sitting, you know, God knows where, and I'm sure the internet there isn't
great.
Even if you get in, yeah.
Yeah.
And now with all these companies, I say all these companies, but like Sony mainly not doing E3 anymore, it's kinda like that's kind of a bummer. It's cool to see like everything, but then they do their own thing and it makes like way more sense.
I mean,
it's all about them and
so
stuff like
that. The thing is like, you know, E3 is a complicated beast when you look at it, because us as an industry of people that love the industry itself want to E3 to be this special thing that we remember it being. It's Christmas morning, you know,
yeah,
but
it's
a week.
Super excited. I remember being in middle school, being super excited, just all the games that are going to be announced. And
there's nothing like it. Like no other industry is just like, you know what? We're going to have just a couple of days where we're all just going to announce.
It's kind of like
shit.
The Super Bowl, right?
The Super Bowl has its movie trailers, right? Everybody knows that the Super Bowl is going to have trailers and all that stuff. But this is like, hey, we're going to announce a ton of games. There is a competition between all of us.
Yeah.
It's super cool. But that's the press conferences. E3 isn't the press conferences.
Yeah, it's the whole like
just happened like surrounding E3, but they have nothing to actually do with ESA's E3 itself. E3 is the conference that lasts from Tuesday to Thursday.
Yeah.
Whereas the conferences are usually, you know,
before going in.
So then once you get to the show floor, that's what E3 actually is, being able to play games and all that stuff. So Sony not being at E3, last year meant and this year mean that they don't have conferences and they're not there at all.
They're not there.
But that's the thing. They're not on the show floor. Their games are not playable there. Microsoft backing out of E3 is the same thing.
Yeah.
Microsoft is not at E3. Last year, they just had a mixer booth. That's it. Microsoft themselves were across the street at the Nokia Center.
Okay.
So it's like LA Live. Like, so they had a place that people could go. That's not only their own conference that's not part of E3. Now they have their own events.
It's like their own little event next to the event.
That is debatably better.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you're actually getting the, you know, a big first party experience of being able to play all of the different games that they're offering. Whereas E3 just kind of turned into a giant empty place with a bunch of different energy drinks. You know, it's like you're trying to get some monster.
You guys like bang energy?
So I don't know. I don't know what direction E3 can go to not continue going down that path of, you know, not having these like giant kind of tentpole.
Yeah, if they keep backing out and just kind of doing their own thing, then E3 is just going to be like, well, why go?
Yeah.
Because you can watch the events or the press conferences at home. And if you want to go to the thing to play games and there's no games, it's like, well,
yeah,
might as well go to a PAX or something. Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Right. That is geared more towards not just like what they're talking about is like, oh, we want to try to make the experience better for communities. And
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, well, PAX has been doing that for years.
Yeah.
So it's like you're playing catch up already to something that is established and knocks it out of the park.
Established and has multiple events a year.
And in multiple locations.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Next news story. This is about The Witcher, Nightmare of the Wolf. It's a movie that will be a Vesemir origin story. It's by Adele Anchors at IGN. Netflix, are you a Witcher person at all?
I started watching The Witcher series. I've never played the games, okay, but I've heard good things.
Netflix has shared new details about The Witcher, Nightmare of the Wolf, confirming Vesemir will be the movie's central protagonist. The streamer released an official synopsis on the listing page of the recently announced movie, revealing the upcoming anime will serve as an origin story for Vesemir, a.k.a. Geralt. Kev, help me out. Geralt. Geralt of Rivia's mentor and father figure. The description reads, long before mentoring Geralt's, Vesemir begins his own journey as a witcher after the mysterious Deglan claims him through the law of surprise. A young Vesemir was previously teased in the final episode as Geralt recollected a voice saying, I've been waiting for you. He then responds by calling out Vesemir's name. In this case, Vesemir's short line of dialogue was delivered by Divergent star Theo James, so it's not outside the realm of possibility that the actor also recorded lines for the character's appearance in Nightmare of the Wolf, the animated movie. This new movie comes from the Witcher's producers, Lauren and Beau, with Studio Mir, the renowned Korean animation studio behind Legend of Korra and Voltron. That's pretty cool. Presently, it's unknown whether Nightmare of the Wolf will release before or after season 2 of The Witcher, that is 2021.
So they're going all in on The Witcher.
They're going all in. And so you watched season 1, you haven't played the games. Are you excited for season 2? Are you excited for a spin-off anime movie?
Yes on both counts.
That's awesome. Yeah. I mean, they got you there.
They really did, and I'm at a place where it's like, should I play The Witcher? Because
I'm sure you should.
Really enjoyed it. Yeah, I'm sure.
I've heard nothing but positive things about that game.
And it's the world is supposed to be enormous. It's one of those games that it's like, this seems like something that's going to take 120 hours out of my life.
Yeah, it's like 120 hours.
It's like one of the games of the generation.
That's what I heard.
Dude, play it on the Sony 3D TV. Hell yeah.
Oh, man, you got to love it. Well, anyway, good on you guys. That's some cool stuff. But Kev, I'm gonna put you on the spot here.
Yep.
2021 is so far away. If I want to know what games are coming to Mom and Grop shops today, where would I look?
Oh.
That was a noise. I'm not sure if that was pleasure or pain.
The official list of upcoming software across each and every platform, as listed by the Kind of Funny Games Daily Show host each and every day.
Got it.
Oh, that's goddamn right. Woo! We got a long ass list today.
Man.
Out today. Patapon 2 remastered on the PlayStation 4.
He made it happen. Very the madman made it happen.
Prison Princess on Switch. Speaking Simulator on Switch and PC.
What?
I want to see Kevin do a Let's Play of Speaking
Simulator.
Come on.
What does that even entail?
I'm looking into it.
Speaking Simulator. Skellboy on Switch and PC. Sisters Royale on PS4 and Switch. Hmm. The Incredible Adventures of Van Helsing 3.
Yeah, they've made 3 of those. Is that on the Switch?
On PlayStation 4.
Oh, PlayStation 4, okay.
Never again on Switch. Here we go. Let's look at Speaking Simulator.
Oh, 2008 teaser trailer. This might be outdated.
I mean, I'm gonna,
what the fuck is this?
Jesus Christ.
God, this is me when I have too much dairy. Oh, dude. Meal food 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
You have been fitted with the latest in robotic mouth technology.
Yes, I...
Your mission is simple. You must blend seamlessly into human society.
Best.
You will degrade yourself by adopting their culture.
So it's Octodad.
But with your tongue. You,
talking is pretty difficult.
All right. It came from outer space and ate our brains on PS4, Xbox One, and Switch. Ark of Alchemist on PS4 and Switch. Code Shifter, PS4, Xbox One, Switch, and PC. Labyrinth of the Witch on PC. Bookbound Brigade on PS4 and PC. Ascendant Hearts on Switch. Aviary Attorney, Definitive Edition on Switch.
I do love me some birds.
Bird Law, dude.
Yeah.
Bird Law. I don't know what Bird Law is, but Kevin says it a lot. Autobahn Police Simulator 2 on PlayStation 4. Mad Age and this guy.
What are these games?
On PlayStation 4. Sparkle 4 Tales on Switch. Oh, Jesus Christ. I don't even know how to say this. Uoris DX on Switch. That's U-O-R-I-S-D-X.
Yeah. It's like you casted a Harry Potter spell.
It's all caps except for the I. So,
of course. Yeah. Why not?
Why the fuck not? Pull this up, Kev. Little aviary attorney.
JJ Falcon. Watch out, Phoenix Wright.
Phoenix Wright. A lot of birds.
Oh. I kind of like, you know, I kind of like this art style.
Yeah. Did anyone think that it was going to look
this
like
is actually, no, this? This actually is awesome. Looks pretty dope. All right. I feel like an asshole
this
now.
This song's dope, too.
All right.
Dance Macabre.
I'm going to jump forward just a bit.
Yeah.
Let's see what, okay.
I take it back.
Wow.
Wow. This
we got egg on our face.
Yeah. Yep. Is that elephant?
That's
hell yeah,
an elephant. These things aren't sized appropriately.
Is that like Nintendo Warrior game?
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. Phoenix, this is right. Phoenix Wright, but with animals.
Look at that lion, dude.
He's smoking a doobie. All right.
This is beautiful.
This is okay. Yeah.
Eclipse Edge of Light on Switch. Ministry of Broadcast.
Isn't that what we're doing right now?
Yeah. Can you look that up, Kev? Yeah. Ministry of Broadcast on PC and Mac. Black Powder, Red Earth on PC.
A lot
and
of
Mac.
Colors. Sure.
DanielX.net Paint Composer on PC. The Secret Order 8, Return to the Buried Kingdom on PC and Mac. Terraforming Earth is out today on Steam. Atari, one of the world's most iconic consumer brands and interactive entertainment producers, announced the release of Roller Coaster Tycoon Story. So there you go. That's coming too. Let's look at this.
It looks like a 2D pixelated side scroller.
All right.
So we're just killing it with originality here.
Yeah, this is not what I thought.
Some real
no, I think I prefer the other game, the mouth game, the speaking, jamming the whatever in his mouth.
Like, this looks so much like Prince of Persia, or at least what
the
I
OG
remember.
Prince
yeah.
of Persia.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. All right, new dates for you. In honor of Friends/Ships Month, February. Okay. The Ad Council's National Seize the Awkward Suicide Prevention Campaign in partnership with the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention and the JED Foundation, I almost read that, JEDI Foundation, is launching an exclusive
cool
video
be?
Game partnership with Guild Wars 2, the widely popular, massively multiplayer online role-playing game. The gaming partnership is the Ad Council's first ever integration with a game. During the entirety of February, Guild Wars 2's 11 million players will receive a free Seize the Awkward t-shirt for their in-game character via the game's gem store to raise awareness about how friends can help and support one another through hard times. So go check that out. Sounds like a good cause. Cyberpunk Dungeon Crawler Conglomerate 551 to escape Steam Early Access on February 20th. I hate when press releases try to get cute.
Yeah.
It's just like...
Just say your goddamn
yeah,
thing and move
going,
on.
Like, come on, man. The Outer Worlds is coming to Nintendo Switch on March 6th.
Oh, okay.
It's only a download. Even if you buy in stores, you just get a code.
Oh. So isn't that what they did with Overwatch as well?
Yeah, one of them situations.
It's just like a... I wonder how that's going to run on the Switch.
Pirates releases tomorrow on Steam Early Access. That is spelled P1R4T3S.
Oh, my God. We deserve we deserve the coronavirus.
Oh,
we
my
do.
God.
This is-
So before we get into the reader mail, ladies and gentlemen, I want to tell you about our sponsors. Today, our sponsor is G.I. Joe, War on Cobra. Yo, Joe. That's what they did, Kev. They used to yell that. G.I. Joe and Cobra are back in G.I. Joe War on Cobra. Will you join the Joes and fight for justice, or will you seek world domination with Cobra? Both good options. The choice is yours. G.I. Joe War on Cobra is a free download and out now for both Android and iOS devices. Whether you're a fan of the classic animated series, the iconic toy line, comics, or all of the above, G.I. Joe War on Cobra has everything for has something for everyone. It has a massive roster featuring the most beloved and infamous heroes, villains, and vehicles featured in the series. Nick grew up wanting to be a Joe, and Greg always wanted to scream like Cobra Commander. Can you imagine that?
Yeah. With Greg, yeah, absolutely.
Once you've chosen your side, players will be introduced to the game's mechanics via Roadblock for Joes or Baroness for Cobra. You'll learn how to manage your base, units, vehicles, and engage in battles to help you get a feel for managing your troops. As you continue with the single-player campaign missions, more options for reinforcing your army with additional units, heroes, and vehicles begin to open up. But that's just the beginning. G.I. Joe War on Cobra also features PvP, ranked leaderboard. You'll need to fight hard for your faction, build out and defend your base strategically, and master the art of directing troops to conquer your foes. And in no time, you'll be an expert on making attacks from air, land, and sea like a flying squirrel. That's always been my thing. They can attack from land, air, or sea.
Gotta watch out for them. Those dangerous animals.
While you're here, we have a special in-game gift from D3 Go as a token of appreciation for checking out G.I. Joe War on Cobra. We are giving away two free characters for all new players to help reinforce your army. Joes can look forward to picking up a free bazooka, the G.I. Joe Missile Specialist, while Cobra followers can add Missile BAT, the Battle Android Trooper. Bat for short, to their squad. In the meantime, don't forget that knowing is half the battle. Check out the description below or head to www.d3go.com/kfgames to download G.I. Joe War on Cobra and receive your free gift for your mobile device. That is d3go.com/kfgames, or just check the description below. Also, shout out to Robinhood. 2020 is the perfect time to start thinking about 2040. With Robinhood, you can invest in the markets and earn interest with a competitive APY on uninvested cash. They make it easy to get started and learn as you grow with an intuitive app experience and no commission fees on trades. And stock prices don't have to hold you back. You can buy a piece of a company you love for as low as $1 and build your portfolio a little at a time. You can buy one share. You can buy half a share. You can buy 3 1/4 shares. It's up to you how many shares you buy. Your budget, your goals, your decisions. Your first stock is on the house when you set up your account. That's a free stock. It's pretty dope, right, Kevin?
Absolutely.
There we go. Annual percentage yield on uninvested cash is paid by program banks and is variable. Robinhood Financial is not a bank. The free stock offer is subject to terms and conditions. All investments involve risk. Other fees may apply. You can visit rbnhd.co/fees for more on that. But you can go to games.robinhood.com to learn more and claim your free stock. That's games.robinhood.com to learn more and claim your free stock.
That was well done.
Yeah,
very professional.
Thank you. Thank you.
Throughout that whole G.I. Joe thing, I just wanted to scream pork chop sandwiches, but I didn't.
Yeah.
I didn't do any of that.
I don't get that reference at all.
What?
No.
You don't?
No. Explain. Are
you, Kevin, do you? What? No. Nobody?
No.
The old, like, you know how they do, like, the things at the end of the episodes where they're, like, teaching kids?
Yeah,
shit
yeah,
like
yeah.
that. There's the a whole bunch. Yeah, the more you know. It's, I believe it's, like, Finster Films. Or something like that. I might get the name wrong. They made a bunch of just parodies, and one of them is just a guy saying, it's completely stupid and asinine, just a guy saying pork chop sandwiches. There's another guy doing a really bad accent saying, give him the stick, don't give him the stick. There's another one saying, who wants a body massage? I can't believe you haven't watched these. I am actually upset.
There is nothing better than trying to explain to someone, like,
you need the
video.
Visual. I sound like an idiot. I sound like an actual stupid person right now. Does chat help
Greg
me
Miller
out?
Coming in
chat,
here.
Please, someone.
This, of course, goes back to classic IGN when we were all old men and Roper wore the pork chop sandwiches shirt all the time. And when the first time I ever saw, hey kids, quit with the downloading.
Stop with the downloading.
I was in hysterics the rest of the
I'm
day.
I'm a computer.
You see where my humor comes from, Tim.
Oh, gotcha. That's the origin story. Kev, can you try to find this? What's the one, Greg? What's the one we need?
If you put in pork chop sandwiches, you'll find.
If you type in pork, I'm sure it comes up. But see, now that I explained it, you guys aren't gonna laugh and look like a fool.
See, that's the problem with these things. It's like you can't. It's a moment in time.
Hold on. I'm gonna pull up chat. Chat, do you somebody? Oh, there we go. Oh, it's Bruce. Bruce Green. That's his Twitter profile picture.
Which one?
The top one.
The top one?
Kevin the Great. You made this 13 years ago. You need the audio. That's so stupid.
All right, here we go.
Yep, here we go.
You're not cooking. Yeah, you.
Pork chop sandwiches. Get the fuck out of here. What are you doing? Go, get the fuck out of here, you stupid idiot. Fuck, we're all dead. Get the fuck out.
God, did that smell good.
Detect it. Did you know going and you tell me do things. I done running.
He's gonna stare at the camera. Fetzler film.
Put it into YouTube. Hey kid, quit with the download.
Oh god, there's a bunch of them. I can't believe.
That's my favorite. Quit. Stop.
Oh god. Don't give him the stick's a good one too.
Don't give him the stick.
Hey kid, I'm a computer.
That's it. Hey kid, I'm a computer.
Oh my god. Yep. They're all like 40 seconds long.
Oh, hell nah. What's up, dawg?
Hey, kid.
What?
I'm a computer. Stop all the downloading. Help, computer.
I don't know much about computers other than the one we got in my house. My mom put a couple games on there and I played.
I'm not gonna lie to you. I think that Nick would be really good at this. And maybe that's something we should think about.
Oh, he would.
There is a bunch of them, and you should definitely catch up. They are. I'm glad I was able to bring this to you guys.
I love that I'm a computer. I love that my mind immediately goes like, what if Nick redubs all the animated.
What's that
of,
sound?
It's electricity outside.
What's that sound? It's electricity outside.
Oh, God.
What the fuck?
Whew.
Oh, man. Kind of Funny Games.
That was so
what a,
good.
What a riot this is.
I would say that was Kind of Funny.
Hey, let's do a couple reader mail questions
let's do it.
Here. Let's see. Groovy Muse writes in, says, my question is in regards to Imran's recent piece on IGN about fan ownership and the response to Byleth being in Smash Brothers. How does Kind of Funny walk the line between wanting to create content that you're passionate about, but also content that your audience wants? There's a great line in Imran's piece about content creators struggling to be creative, but also give their audience something they never knew they wanted. How do you deal with all these struggles? I feel like a good question for someone like you,
yeah.
I don't think we did that great a job introducing you for people that don't know. Who are you?
My name is Ray Narvaez Jr. I'm a degenerate that plays video games on Twitch.tv 5 days a week. So I just sit in my office like a gremlin and play video games, and I've convinced people to watch and allow me to do that for a job for about 5 years now.
And you're damn good at it.
Thank you.
Twitch.tv/Brown Man. There we go. So what do you think about this?
It's hard because you want to play. I'm in a very fortunate position where I can pretty much play whatever I want and get, you know, decent viewership, and my audience will support me and hang out, even if they like don't care for the game too much. They're just there for the community aspect. Sometimes you do have to, I don't want to say go out of your way because that's the wrong like terminology, to play, say, like a popular game. At least give it a shot because that's what everyone expects. But sometimes, yeah, you want to play something you're passionate about. So for me, it'll be, like achievement hunting in games, right? Mm-hmm. Like generally it's such a niche thing that, you know, not too many people care about it, but since I've been doing it ever since I've been streaming and I'm very passionate about it, it kind of brings people in who maybe don't know what achievement hunting or trophy hunting is. And they kind of see like, I guess the process, they kind of get into it and they find it very interesting as well. So, and that goes back to playing. Well, I mean, when you're doing stuff like this, you're playing like some really sometimes terrible indie garbage games. But people come and watch and just kind of see the process. And it could be something they never knew existed, or, you know, maybe they knew about it, but weren't too familiar on it. And they watch it and they kind of get, you know, interested, and maybe they want to try it themselves. So that's the best example I can give, is just like, I do achievement hunting. It's very niche, but the people doing it for so long, people were like, oh, this is actually kind of interesting. I like to watch it because it's kind of a more of a chill stream. I'll put music on and stuff like that. And whether they achievement hunt along with me or they just like hanging out and seeing the process. And some people just like me, just like seeing the number go up, like the gamer score or the trophy count go up. And
monsters that, like you.
Yeah. Monsters like me. And it's just one of those things where it's like, hey guys, I know, you know, viewership may be down today or, you know, whatever. I know X popular game just came out. But, you know, it's I don't want to play it because I know I won't enjoy it, and I don't want to play something just because it's popular. So I'm going to do this instead, and hopefully you enjoy and just come hang out and chill. And
yeah.
Generally those streams sometimes do very, very well.
Yeah, like we're very similar where yeah. It's like we don't kind of chase that high of mm-hmm. like, hey, it's a popular thing, so we all should jump on it. Every single thing we do at Kinda Funny, whether it's Kinda Funny or Kinda Funny Games, like every product, we don't do unless somebody is passionate yeah. about the thing. And we're lucky enough that we've grown with that kind of ideology from the beginning that every single time, like if we're doing an in-review series of a movie, somebody needs to be caring about it. Somebody needs yeah. to be like, this is worth doing for whatever reason, or when we're covering games and stuff. Like there always needs to be somebody passionate about it. And that's not necessarily saying that they like it. Mm-hmm. It's just more like passionate about, like you're talking about, like yeah. the achievement hunting. It's like, that's not saying the game's great,
yeah.
but like you're in it for a specific reason.
Yeah.
And I think that kind of has allowed us to have the amazing audience that we do, the community that we do, that it's not that they'll watch anything we do,
yeah.
but there's a trust that they will watch what we do because they know that we're going to do stuff that's authentic to us, and that's what they want to see.
Oh, yeah. Also, like, obviously not everybody's going to watch everything you do, and some days you'll have a bad stream or a bad thing or whatever, but even if I have a bad stream, say, like, I, you know, take a chance and play a game and it doesn't perform well, it's kind of like, oh, it sucks, but at the end of the day, it's like, well, I'm just going to stream tomorrow, so just don't even think about it and move on to the next thing.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
Like, not every stream or show is going to be perfect and great, you know, you're gonna have off days, so it just happens.
And with that, maybe we should be chasing that high. Maybe we should get the views up because they're not there. Like, Lord knows where Kinda Funny's views are, but it's like we get the views we need.
Yeah,
you know
exactly.
What I mean? And it's like I would much rather like do the things that we're proud of and do the things that we are like passionate about than trying to constantly like play an algorithm. That
yeah.
is just gonna change. Well,
yeah, it's the same thing with me. I mean, I get a good amount of viewers. I'm very happy about it. I'll never be the kind of streamer that gets like 10,000-20,000 viewers playing, you know, whatever the popular game is. And I'm okay with that. I don't think I can honestly handle that. I think I probably average around 1,200 to 1,300 viewers, which I love. If things are going really well, we'll maybe crack like 2,000. If we get anything higher than that, I get like very. It's like anxious. Like I know there's more people here who aren't familiar with what I do, and I don't know if it's just me, but it just like kind of in a way freaks me out a little bit. So I'm very content with the community I have and the slow growth we've been having over the years, and I'm perfectly fine with that. You know, I like what I have. I'm very thankful for what I have, and if we keep growing, awesome. If we stay where we are, also awesome.
Yeah. Final question for the show. Gillibrun says, good morning, Tim and Ray. With the new console generations right around the corner, what updates or innovations do you hope to see regarding the achievement and trophy systems on the next Xbox and PlayStation?
I think achievements need to have something, or the Xbox needs to have something that PlayStation has where it shows like just a count of your completed games. With a lot of games coming out these days that you can complete in like 10 to 15 minutes, the score itself is kind of trivial because you can be like, oh, you know, someone could finish The Witcher and that could take them like 100 hours and they get like 1,000 gamer score or a platinum trophy. And that could play some like garbage mobile port game and it takes me 10 minutes and it's like kind of worth the same. Mm-hmm. That's why I feel having just a completed count of all the things you've completed would be nice. Like the platinum trophy, if the Xbox implemented something like that, I think would be amazing. I mean, trophies and achievements are kind of niche and I think they originally were kind of popular, but they kind of died down, and they're, you know, this not so popular now. I think something like that will definitely help. Mm-hmm. You know, the 360 had in one of the dashboards had a count of all your completed games, and it was the closest thing to a platinum trophy that Xbox had. But I think, you know, there's only so much you can do because it's very, you know, not too many people care too much about it. But I think that's a good stepping point. I think the fact that they keep adding stuff to the achievement system is nice for people like me. With things like achievement tracking and stuff like that. So I'm glad they care about it. I don't expect them to do anything too crazy. Just as long as it's part of the next generation, I'll be fine, really.
Yeah. Well, there you go. Now it's time to squad up. Probably Oliver writes in. You, too, can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames to write in if you want to play games with others. Probably Oliver on PSN says, what's good, Tim and Ray? Firewall 0 Hour is coming to PlayStation Plus next week, and I would be super excited about it if I had some pals to play with. Unfortunately, none of my jerk-ass real-life friends have a PlayStation VR, so I'm looking to the best friends instead. Hit me up on PSN at probably Oliver, and let's get shooty-shooty in VR together.
Shooty-shooty.
P.S. Also, you don't need to read this bit, but I just started streaming on Twitch based on advice you gave me at the London meet and greet, Tim, and it'd be dope if you could pimp out my channel, twitch.tv/probablyOliver.
Hell yeah.
You've at least got to respect the hustle, right?
Absolutely.
Do respect the hustle, Oliver. Probably. That's your name. I'm not sure. Probably Oliver. Go check it out.
Embrace the sellout culture of Twitch. Make your money.
Make that dough, dude. Let's see. Tomorrow's host is going to be Greg and Blessing. That's exciting stuff. This is it for Kinda Funny Games Daily today, but we are doing a post show. If you are a patreon.com/kindafunnygames supporter at the silver level or above, we're going to do something real special here. I just sent Kevin a video. The G.I. Joe stuff, the yes. Dubs, reminded me of a project that Nick Scarpino once did at IGN.
Oh boy.
I want to watch a little bit of it. And we've watched this on morning shows before. This is an oldie but a goodie. But, man, it brings me great joy. Great, great joy. So we're going to – if you've ever been interested in seeing Nick Scarpino do voiceover for Final Fantasy 13, you might want to stick around for this post show. But until then, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. And now we shake hands.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.
Goodbye, gamers.